Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. This is your host, Curtis, with my co-host, Aaliyah. And today we are joined with a very special guest. It is Gary from Karaneer, but he's also in some other projects, a lot of projects, which we're going to be getting into. He is very productive, to say the least. And I think he's put out three albums just this year so far. So it's going to be a pretty interesting conversation, I would imagine. So first of all, Gary, thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with y'all.
You're very welcome. Okay, so the very first question we ask everyone this is to please give a nutshell version of who you are and what you do.
Yes, definitely. Gary of Karaneer and a bunch of other projects, current active projects, Gone Mage, Homeskin, and actually a brand new project I'd started with my girlfriend called Levemir. Very, very brand new though. Multi-instrumentalist, an audio engineer. I've been doing that for about 14, 15 years. I generally just am a person who likes to keep busy and stay creative. That's me in a nutshell.
That's very succinct. It's Aaliyah's question next.
Yeah, sure. So Gary, do you want to go a little into the differences between your different projects? And you can include your brand new one as well. So Gone Mage, Homeskin, Karaneer, and the new project you mentioned?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess I would say Karaneer has always been sort of a revolving door of sounds since our beginning. We tend to change sounds and directions almost every album. It's maybe not necessarily deliberate. It's just kind of just what happens. I like too many things to stick to one thing. And also that kind of points to why I've started many different solo projects. Gone Mage is, I guess I would see that as an extension of Karaneer, but in particular, our album Phase Out that came out last year. And then further down that whole extension, Homeskin is seen as a counterpart to Gone Mage. More of like a darker counterpart to that project. But musically, they're pretty different. Homeskin is much more entrenched in, I guess, a little more traditional sounds of black metal, although I wouldn't necessarily call that project traditional black metal. Just a darker version of Gone Mage. My brand new project, Levemir, is with my girlfriend. It's actually kind of her brainchild, and I'm sort of seen as the bard. Creating the music for it. It's essentially like a medieval folk kind of project where it's like animals meets the Hobbit. So like these animals go on an adventure. So it's her thing, and I'm just kind of happily joining along as a change of pace for my other projects.
Yeah, it sounds
and
quite
that's
different.
Called, Levemir. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're putting out our first EP on Friday, this Friday. So it's just a little short thing, like 13-14 minutes.
So I got a small follow-up, and hopefully you don't take this the wrong way, but how the hell do you do so much? And like every time I turn around, it seems like you're tweeting about a new album. Like how do you do it?
Oh man. I don't know if I can answer it with one thing, but I guess a lot of free time. That's the number one thing. I'm home a lot, so that ties with that. And I think I try to, I don't know if force is the right word, but I try to set aside time to where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna write and I'm gonna create. I may not have something on my mind the moment I sit down, but I start tinkering with stuff and it gets the creative juices flowing, and it kind of is a snowball effect. And that tends to happen on almost every album that I write. I would say at least in the last couple of years. So it's been a snowball of a ride. Yeah.
Fair.
So just a lot of, yeah, a lot of free time though. That's, I would say that's the number one answer.
Fair. Before I ask the next question, I just want to ask Aaliyah if she had a follow-up on that, because she's a musician herself. I don't know if she has any, would have any questions on the speed thing or not. If not, that's fine. I'm just curious because
I don't have a lot of free time, so I can't relate.
Okay, yeah.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. So let's go on to the next part, which was I wanted to talk about, okay, so you had the recent album for Karen Near called Pangel of, what was it, Purification. I almost called it the carcass title. I almost said it.
Oh man, that would have been fun. Yeah.
It was throwing me off. So you actually had Pangel as a not really a bonus, but as a merchandise item. Correct. Can you talk about that and how the idea came about?
Yeah, definitely. So the product itself, it wasn't something that we manufacture or anything like that. That would obviously take up too many resources. It's just like an American branded pain gel, and I just got custom stickers and rebranded the little gel. Mm-hmm. So it's just a standard, like a little pain gel applicator. But the idea behind that and like the album is it's very much a satirical album. And it's not necessarily one that we and Karen Air have done before. We've always kind of been seen as more serious. Well, okay, I'll backtrack a bit, except the Phase Out album released earlier last year. Definitely more of a fun album. So before that, we had always kind of been seen as a very super serious, bleak even. And yep. I kind of wanted to, me and Chris, the vocalist, talked about it and just wanted to throw a little curveball and get a little satirical and just poke fun at a couple things, product placement things, basically. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Fair. Now, how the hell did you manage to sell out of them too? That's an odd thing for a band to sell out of. And well,
I know. So we didn't get that many made or put together. I think in the end it was like only about 12 or so, or no, 13, because we wanted to keep one for ourselves. So it didn't take too long to sell out of those. I know we got a lot of questions about them from people just sending emails like, what is this stuff? Like, what, you know? And I was just like, I basically told them what I've been telling you, that it's not something that we made or manufactured. It's just something that we had fun with, little gag gift in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, thankful that people did buy it. Hopefully maybe they use it, or maybe it's just a little fun display for them. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do a product like that album, which was, yeah. It was a good idea though, and you've proven that you can actually get at least some of them sold on it.
Thanks, yeah.
So are you planning on doing anything similar to that with future albums, if you're willing to say?
I guess we don't have anything concrete on that kind of item or anything similar yet. But I will say that that's certainly not the end of it. We just don't know when and what we would do, but we're always kind of keeping our minds open for little fun things like that. Yeah.
Neat. Okay, cool. All right. I'm good, Aaliyah.
That's cool. No, it's such a cool idea to be creative with your merch and not just go with the basic stuff that everybody has done before. Right.
Yeah.
But as far as the actual media for the music, we were talking about this a little bit in the lead up to starting this call. Seem to prefer putting your music out on tape. Is that just because of cost? Is it because it's a medium that you particularly like? Can you go into why you've chosen that medium?
Sure, yeah, definitely. I guess it's a couple things. Cost is definitely one of them. And I think a nostalgic factor. Growing up in the 90s, had a lot of tapes, or I was around a lot of tapes as well, just for my parents. So I was just kind of fascinated with them, having like a little Walkman or even just like a small boombox and popping tapes in. CDs, I do have a love for as well, but I think I just have had a big attachment to tapes, so I kind of tend to stick with them. Yeah.
What do you think the future for that is? Like, I feel like they are coming back for that nostalgic reason, but I think it's kind of hard to get players and stuff, but I don't know if that matters.
That is a good point. Coincidentally, I had to buy a new boombox last week because one of my tape players died, sadly. But, you know, I think there is still a future for them. Maybe new companies prop up and make better, reliable tape players, hopefully at least. And I think that the medium is going to be here to stay, at least within metal. Like, I think maybe other genres might not be so hot on it down the road. Well, I mean, who knows? But I definitely think it's here to stay in metal.
So I wanted to go into something that wasn't on the questions. I noticed on your Bandcamp, at least, it says that most of your products get sold out pretty quickly. Are you, what kind of quantities are you making, if you're willing to say, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, great question. Usually anywhere from, I would say, like, for Homeskin, since it's the newest project or newest project with physical media right now, low quantities from like 25 to 40. But for Care and Air, usually 50 to 100. Gone Mage kind of in between, since it was also a new project from earlier last year. So I guess 50 to 100 is like the average. Yeah.
Makes sense. I guess it's kind of like the way you guys are doing, you're doing it is you're kind of doing it in such a way that you guys, that you're not losing any money, but you're kind of breaking doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. And also space saving issues. Maybe not issues, but foresight. I don't have a ton of room here, so I try to keep a queue of like, okay, I got 40 of these right now, or 50 of these. Got to try to sell these to make room for the next thing that I'm going to do, or we're going to do. Yeah,
makes sense. Now, one of the partly why I asked you that question is because I know a lot of bands, at least when they're beginning, they'll do way too much quantity, right?
Yeah.
Started doing this, like, did you originally mess up and do like too much, and then you were like, nah, I gotta do it like in this amount, or how did you figure it out?
I guess we've kind of always started with a lower quantity. Guess early on it was a kind of a foresight of, oh gosh, we don't want too many of these around if it doesn't pan out, or you know, whatever. So it's just kind of always been on the back of my mind to keep it tight, you know, unless something changes. Yeah.
No, that makes sense. It's just because you always hear about these bands, they'll get like 3,000 CDs printed.
Yeah. It's like astronomical amount. I mean, especially if you're starting out, or, you know, just been around a couple of years. Yeah, it seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Or like 1,000 vinyl or whatever. And you're like, dude, what the fuck are you thinking? Like,
and it's funny that you mentioned that. Like, we had the vinyl for Phase Out last year, and we went through the Bandcamp vinyl campaign, I guess, that they started in the last year and a half. And it was successful, fortunately, and they had a minimum of 200, and we were like, whoa, we haven't sold 200 vinyl in like a long time. Can we do this? And we did, but I don't know if I would do that again, because it was pretty stressful trying to meet that minimum. But yeah, that's another case. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. I think I'm done on that question, Aaliyah.
I think the next question is yours.
Oh, is it?
But I do want to ask. I want to ask you real quick, what are some of your preferred methods to selling? Like, how did you make that minimum? How did you go about that?
Great question. I got to kind of put my mind into how it was back then. Not back then, but it was a year ago. Tons of promotion on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, of course, although I wasn't as entrenched on Twitter around that time last year, February. But Facebook, Instagram, and emails were pretty huge. Like using the Bandcamp, the community email option, that helped a lot. Honestly, every day I was just promoting in different ways. I tried to change it up, you know, not the same message every time, because you know people love you know unique messages from bands. Like it's not just a cookie cutter message that you're sending to everyone. I try to keep it personal. I mean, where applicable. Yeah, so just constant promoting, which kind of took a toll on me, but it was worth it.
So, okay, so that kind of leads into the next question, sort of. So do you have any tips on press on your own?
Yeah, definitely. I guess the first thing is saving money. That might be the biggest thing, because like you need that upfront investment costs, or you know, to get it pressed, whether it's tape, vinyl, CD, whatever. And then having a plan to do your promoting, whether it is on all of the social media platforms, or if you're playing, you know, shows. We don't play shows, so we have to rely 100% on social media or the internet in general. So I think, yeah, saving money, having a plan, and then, I mean, that's really it. And I guess staying on top of that, having a regular, scheduled promoting kind of thing in mind, like every week, you know, do you have a plan for promoting this and that? Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So you actually do like a full out plan on like, I'm going to do this, 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 and this for your promotion or what?
Yeah, I would say so. I guess I haven't done that for like Homeskin. Homeskin's kind of a very different beast that I've been approaching, an experimental approach where it's just, I don't do a ton of promotion for it or preparation. It's a very improvisational thing, musically and promotionally. But for Care and Air, definitely. And I would say Gone Mage too. I always have like spreadsheets and like plans for everything for those two projects.
Fair. Okay. So now next, let's get into like, okay, so now how does someone go and get their own reviews and stuff if they're on their own? They don't have like a PR person or anything like that.
Let's see. I guess the main thing is reaching out to blogs and sites that you think that would fit. I guess, or you think that you would see your album on, them reviewing it. Sending emails is really the main thing that I do. I try not to reach out through other like forms of media unless they're cool with it. Because I know some friends of mine, they get like messages through Facebook of bands, like new bands sending them stuff. And they're like, nope, this is not for that, you know. And so I tried. I've never done that, or at least I haven't. I probably did early on, you know, before Facebook, like on MySpace and stuff. But these days, like emails really king in reaching out to blogs and like metal sites or music sites in general. Having a well-written, like press release, bio, pictures, links, all relevant links, providing the download, if that's the method that they're, you know, going to need the album or music. And then I would say like beyond that, I don't necessarily try to follow up unless I may have like a previous rapport with that person or persons, because I don't really like to bog down, you know, these sites. They get tons and tons of stuff every day, every week. I mean, just kind of sending, like, I guess like one thing is if you think that you're sending like 100 emails to people, you might get maybe, I don't really know, but you know, maybe 5 to 10 hits if that. So you gotta stay in the grind. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that a lot of people don't realize, because I know that they reached out to Metal Sucks, Metal Injection, Revolver, and Krang, and then they're like, why didn't
get any coverage?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not have a problem with that. Cool. You mentioned already having a well-written press release. So how do you go about getting that? Do you hire it out or do you write it yourself?
I try to write it myself, and have peers proofread it. And if they think that it's worthy, if they don't, then I go back to the drawing board, rewrite it, fine tune it, try to condense it to a digestible format. Like most people are kind of on their phone, you know, checking emails. So I try to keep it tight as much as I can. Yeah.
Cool. I think we're down to the last 8 minutes. So Aaliyah, do you have any final questions for Gary? I have one final one.
So I kind of brushed it off because I didn't have the presence of mind, but when we were talking about having the time to do all of these projects, and you know, I mentioned, no, I don't really have a lot of free time, so hashtag can't relate, but do you have any recommendations for people who might find themselves short on free time, how they can manage to fit in their projects?
Oh yeah, okay. I think maybe trying to set a small amount of time aside, maybe not for writing a whole song or album, but just like practicing or putting, you know, like the foundation to a song together, or whatever you're trying to create, whether it's other forms of art, drawing, painting, what have you, just setting that small amount of time aside, at least to begin with. You know, maybe it's like a half hour a week for starters, if you really press on time, and then see how you feel. If you're feeling like, oh, I think I can add another hour to that, or what have you. So yeah, I think just starting small and then see how that works with your schedule. And then, you know, maybe eventually you'll be writing a song every week or more. Yeah.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one more question. Aaliyah, do you have any more before I ask the final?
I think I'm good for now, yeah.
Cool. This might actually lead into more, so I should probably be careful on how I word this, because
sure.
But if we need to go a couple minutes, not that big of a deal. Video games and music. Obviously, you got the influence there. How do you feel like you can make that part of the creative process, how can you make that as part of your music without being cheesy, do you think? Because a lot of people do it the wrong way, I think, and they make it look stupid. Yeah. Obviously. So how do you kind of go about making it entertaining and fitting with the music without being cheesy, if that makes sense?
That definitely makes sense. I guess I really haven't thought about that, because so far the way that I've approached that aspect is just purely feeling, and also kind of I don't know if it's like maybe an analytical way of looking at like the video game aspects musically, where it's like, oh, that's a cool sound, and the video gaming part is like kind of out of my mind. It's like, oh, I just like this sound, so I'm gonna put that here. And I'm going to see how it works with electric guitar, some black metal riffs, some blast beats. And then it's kind of like putting a puzzle together. So that's sort of the way I've been approaching it. And I think I don't really think about the result, if it ends up being cheesy or not. Although it's fun to think about how the listener interprets that. So I kind of get a kick out of, like reviews or just what people say, like, oh, that was really weird, or that was... I don't understand what's going on, but I like it. Or I don't understand what's going on and I hate it. I definitely welcome all and any kind of criticism or feedback. Really, for me, it's just the process of putting it together is the fun part. So I guess just having fun with it is my approach. Yeah.
Cool. I guess that's the best you can do, is just have fun with it. I think that's all we got for you, unless Aaliyah's got one more.
Okay.
Just the final question, which is asking you, what is next for all of your projects coming up?
Oh, great, great question. Okay, so it's going to be another busy year, like last year. Immediately next Friday is this debut EP from me and my girlfriend's project, Levemyr, L-E-V, and it's like a apostrophe M-Y-R. We're putting that on Bandcamp, levemyr.bandcamp.com. It's kind of a little medieval folk, sort of synthy, dungeon synthy kind of project. And then beyond that, another Homeskin album in April 1st. I've been having another Gone Mage album that's almost done. I'm waiting for, and this is a crazy number, but about 60 guests on that album. Just little bits here, just like a couple lines here, kind of backing up my vocals. Trevor from Black Dahlia Murder, he's going to be in it. Mirai from Psy. Well, hopefully, I got a yes from him. Don't know for sure, but hopefully. A lot of other people too, just a lot of friends. So that's coming hopefully in September. I don't have a date yet for that, but hopefully in the fall. And then we've got another Karenair album in July. That's going to be considered a sequel to the Phase Out album specifically. This one's going to be called Phantasmal. So expect more of the video game aspect there. Beyond that, I got a bunch of like little splits. Those are kind of all up in the air right now. No dates or anything. So yeah, just staying very busy. That's what's on my plate.
Sounds very, very busy. Curtis, are we good to wrap this one up? All right. Well, thank you so much, Gary, for coming on. It was a pleasure. And until next time, everyone make like a bull and throw those horns up.
Hell yeah. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.